what I want any old time. I said I'm free, do what I want.
Welcome back to Backbone Radio. That was a fascinating last hour with Andrew Ian Dodge, coordinator for the Maine Tea Party Patriots, and certainly a renaissance man. We didn't get to talk about it a lot with him. Hopefully we will on future occasions. He's spent a lot of time in England as a child and a postdoctorate over there, has a lot of experience watching European politics and American politics, and has some interesting comparisons to make. He's also married to an English actress. Not sure why an English actress wants to live in Maine, but there they are. And now we move to our next guest, who, like Andrew Ian Dodge, has published a libertarian, a subtly or not so subtly libertarian science fiction novel. Very pleased to be joined by my friend Tom James, who I should mention is also a co-founder and manager of the People's Press Collective website that I am a regular contributor to. I was proud to be involved with very early on, though I cannot call myself a founder or anything like that. But it's a great website. Tom does a great job with it, especially for somebody who, unlike me, has a real job. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So,
be here.
Tell us about your book. Let's just jump right in with that.
Well, it's a science fiction novel, and it works on two levels. One, you know, it's a young adult book, but it also has things that actually, you know, that grown-ups can appreciate. I don't want to make it sound like it's a children's story, because it's not.
And we should just so our listeners
like
know, it's called In the Shadow of Ares.
Ares, and Ares, I should point out, is spelled A-R-E-S, so it's not like the constellation. It's the story of a young girl. She turns 14 at the beginning of the book, and it's about her coming of age. She's got to prove herself. She is the first and so far only child on Mars in the midst of settlement that's been going on for about 15 years. And nobody takes her seriously. Everybody's very busy, very committed to making their businesses succeed. So she finds a way to try and prove herself that she can do more than what people give her credit for. And in so doing, she inadvertently brings everything that they've been working for into jeopardy.
And so I want to just back up for a second and ask you, what inspired you to write a book? You know, how did you get from your day job is a technology guy and at a large defense contractor? How did you get from there to writing a book?
Well, it started at the 2001 Mars Society convention at Stanford University. One evening, there was a panel discussion among science fiction writers, and they were talking about, they were complaining about how nowadays there really isn't that much hard science fiction the way there was back in the 50s and 60s with particularly Heinlein. They cited Robert Heinlein, who was an inspiration for a lot of people who went into the space business in the 60s and 70s and 80s. But there wasn't anybody out there to inspire kids in the same way. It's all, you know, magic, it's vampires, but no hard science fiction. And I was there with a friend of mine from the Mars Society, Carl Carlson, who became my co-author. We were talking about this afterwards and thinking, you know, how hard can it be to write a book?
And
well,
what's the answer?
It's a lot harder than you think. It takes a lot of time, but we actually finished it, so now it's available.
And now it's available for Kindle, and it's going to be coming out for the Barnes & Noble Nook e-reader sometime soon, right?
Yes, it's in publication on the Nook right now. I just checked it about an hour ago, and it still hadn't shown up, but within the next day or so, it'll be available on the Nook. It is already available on the Kindle. Just look for In the Shadow of Ares. Comes right up. There's no other titles by that or that like that.
Okay. And what do you hope to accomplish with it?
Well, we want to inspire kids to think of the future and technology and business as good things. The way Robert Heinlein did, he showed how you know, young people who knew a little bit of science, knew a little bit of the technology, could do wonderful things. They have great adventures because of what they knew and how they could use it, not because of they were magical or that kind of thing, but real world things. So that hopefully we inspire a new generation to go into space, into technology careers, into mathematics careers, the same way that Heinlein inspired a whole generation. Now, we're by no means as good as Robert Heinlein, but hopefully we can do our part to get people to do that.
So your mission, if I can use the intentional double meaning there with the science stuff, is not entirely, or maybe not even primarily political.
Well, we also wanted to present our own political and economic views in a positive light, because there again, you read a lot of modern science fiction and it's very anti-human. Like, humans are the source of all problems. Technology is the source of all problems. Greed and capitalism are the source of all problems. So what we did was fashion a world where, no, technology is good. Technology lets you do all kinds of incredible things. And the means for achieving these incredible things, applying this technology, for evolving this technology, are businesses. In the case of Mars, in our novel, new startup businesses that build themselves up on Mars independent of a government. So the businesses are the good guys. It's not always just, heroes working for the government it's not bad things, humans doing bad things.
Right. So tell me a little bit about your co-author. I don't know him.
Carl's a friend of mine I knew from when I lived in Louisiana, and he is an environmental engineer, and he manages a power facility now in Pennsylvania. We spent a lot of time going back and forth between our current locations to write the book, and did a lot of online collaboration. People always ask me how we managed to write a book first with two people. That's apparently very difficult to do, and how we managed to do it when we're half a continent apart. But we use some of the new technology that I'm big on new technology, the web, social media, blogs, and so forth. We set up a blog immediately when we started doing this, and we had a private blog where we could share ideas, text, character development, you name it.
And is Carl as motivated by the political side of this as you are, or is he more the science side, or same kind of balance as you?
Both. And if it's any guide, I know you always point out the fact that your son's middle name is Rand. His Carl's first daughter, her first name is Dagny.
Okay.
So that should tell you something.
That tells me a lot. I was going to ask if either of you guys took any inspiration from Anthem.
Not so much Anthem. It's not my favorite Ayn Rand book.
Right.
But we're both big fans of Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead. So.
Right. And I asked about Anthem because that's science fiction, but it is a much more primitive kind of setting than what you're describing in your book.
Right. And Atlas Shrugged is arguably science fiction as well. So
that's true. You could argue that.
Really don't think of her as being a science fiction author.
That's true. Good point. Yeah, so again, people go to Amazon.com, and I'm guessing if you search for Shadow of Ares, Ares, it should come up. And Ares is what the Greek name for Mars.
Right. And in the context of the novel, the Ares missions were the first five manned missions to Mars. Amber's parents, Amber, who is our protagonist, her parents were on the final one, which is the last mission before the settlers started coming out 2 years later. And her parents took a huge risk and stayed behind when they got pregnant unexpectedly. And had her before anybody else showed up on Mars.
Well, it sounds like a great story. When I get an e-reader or some way to read it from the Kindle or Nook thing, because I'm I'm a little behind the times on the e-readers. I will get it and read it. But it definitely sounds like an interesting read and something I would want my kids to read when they're old enough to appreciate it. Tom, we got to hit a break right now. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about People's Press Collective and the world of new media as it relates to libertarian politics and the Tea Party movement. So stay with us right here on Backbone Radio on News Talk 710 KNUS and 1460 KZNT. You can join the conversation at 303-696-1971. Stay with us.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get?
Another Welcome back old. To Backbone Radio. Let's go right back to our guest, Tom James, founder, manager of the People's Press Collective website and author of In the Shadow of Ares, which you can find on Amazon.com for your Kindle, and shortly you'll be able to find it for your Nook. Tom, if it's available for the Nook, does that mean it's going to be in some format that will be readable on other e-readers as well? Because I know the Kindle format's a little bit proprietary.
Right. The Nook format, I believe, is more common.
Is it the EPUB or something like that?
The big e-readers, and we'll add more if people ask us for them.
And what's involved, before we get to the blogging stuff I want to talk about, what is or would be involved to get the book out in print, and what was your decision-making process in terms of, you know, which path to take with publication?
Well, it's funny you should ask. The reason we went the e-publishing route was because we're seeing it partly as a more viable option with new technology. It's sort of like books are kind of following the lead of newspapers of going electronic. So I think it was time to get in as an early adopter on this. But also more practically, because we couldn't find an agent that. Like I said, everything's fantasy and vampires and so on, and agents just don't seem to be all that interested in picking up science fiction or young adult science fiction, despite, we spent about a year, the past year, sending letters and trying to get an agent interested, and just nothing ever happened. So hopefully we'll get a little bit of exposure this way, show that we can sell books and possibly pick up an agent and a publisher for real print books.
All right, makes sense to me. I need to put you in touch with my last guest. He wanted to see this, so I will send you that contact information, and hopefully you guys can help each other. So let's move on to the topic of People's Press Collective and conservative/libertarian blogging in Colorado and how that fits into the Tea Party movement. So the first question I want to ask you is, it seemed like early on, and perhaps not surprisingly because so many young people tend to be liberals, that the left really had an advantage over, I don't want to call you and me the right, but over the non-left in technology and new media, and it really showed in Obama's campaign. Do you feel like obviously we're catching up, but how much have we caught up? Are we even with them yet? Are we any chance of getting ahead of the left on their use of technology for political purposes?
I think we've got a long way to go, but on the bright side, they've done all the heavy lifting for us to figure out what needs to be done and how to do it. They've blown a lot of money on developing new technologies, throwing money at the wall, see what worked. So we can just follow along and learn what they've learned from what they've learned without repeating the same mistakes.
So what do you feel like you've learned? What have you learned from so far from the People's Press Collective experience?
What have we learned?
You personally.
Well, we've learned how Google works. We've learned the importance of not being just a single voice, shouting in the wilderness, but to work together to. I frequently use the analogy of a moth with eye spots on its wings, that it scares off predators by looking much bigger than it really is. And that's one of the principles behind a collective like a collective blogging effort like People's Press Collective to make, you know, to get our message out there bigger than just one person or a couple people can do.
So one thing that I hear a lot from people on our side of things, and I take this commentary fairly seriously, actually, wanted to get your opinion, is that the left does a much better job coordinating, even not just political ground game kind of stuff, but media. Like, they'll have some blog run a story, and they'll have another blog run the same story, and, you know, they'll get, you know, a dozen blogs, and almost force the Denver Post then to cover the story by saying, look, all of these websites are covering it, you're missing the story here. And then the Denver Post, who has left-leaning tendencies anyway, sort of gets forced into covering a story that they really weren't inclined to. And yet our side, it seems like we're not very good at that. What's your take?
Well, the classic case in the last election cycle was the Ken Buck and the his rape case decision, which was exactly what you said, that he had a couple of people trying to push the story through the Colorado Independent, through Colorado Polls. They Twittered back and forth to a bunch of their own accounts, back and forth, creating this fake buzz on Twitter that the Denver Post noticed and decided, oh, people are talking about this, we have to cover it. And that's how it got into the mainstream news cycles. And since I've just told you how that happened, obviously we watched that and learned, like everybody else, how that happened. And if we have the resources, we have the people in place, there's no reason that we can't do the same kinds of things. The left is showing us the way to how to coordinate on driving stories, making the news, creating the news. There's no reason we can't do the same things that they do. We just don't have the money and resources and the personnel, the bodies to throw at it that they do, because they're very generously funded.
So, and that sort of anticipated my next question. The resource issue is a huge issue. I mean, you and I and the people who contribute to People's Press Collective and other libertarians and conservatives around the state could be as motivated as we are, and yet if we don't have, you know, the Four Horsemen or George Soros or whatever, or, you know, a conservative equivalent, it's going to be very hard for us to be particularly effective. What do you think our side needs to do? I mean, what do you do to, I mean, People's Press Collective doesn't cost a lot to run, but doesn't cost zero either.
Right. Well, we you know, raise funds by teaching people some of the online, you know, new media, citizen journalism techniques. So that's one way that we pay the bills. We offer advertising on the site as well, but I think it is really going to take somebody who is a funder, a donor, like the Four Horsemen, like George Soros. But in our case, it doesn't, you know, our case being the liberty movements, it doesn't need to be as generous as the billionaires have been with the lefty causes. Because, like I said, they've shown us how to do all this stuff. All we need to do is find new spins on how to do it and, you know, new innovations. But they've spent a lot of money. They throw all this money and don't get as much out of it as what they could. Whereas on our side, you know, we're all capitalists, and we expect that, you know, if I'm putting money into an organization, I expect that they're going to have a return on that investment. They're going to have something to show for it that is constructive, than not just, oh, well, that didn't work, we'll just try something else, which seems to be the method of on the left, and they eventually find something that works. So with a little bit of money, it doesn't take billions of dollars. With a little bit of money, it could make a big difference for the Liberty organization.
So listeners out there, we encourage you to contribute to sites like People's Press Collective that are getting the message out and countering the left's effective new media strategies. Tom, that's all the time we've got for this evening. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
That was Tom James. Check out peoplespresscollective.org, which Tom manages and I contribute to, and go to amazon.com in the Shadow of Ares. Stay with us right here on Backbone Radio.